Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship's so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him left to 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the time and show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they
the big
say a picture's
picture
worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it causes concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the tech nine and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with them trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Welcome, welcome. Peace, power, and love. If you are listening online at this particular time and would like to call in and be part of the discussion, which I hope that you will choose to do. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. You can call in and listen as well. And if you want to join the conversation, you can press the 1 to be entered into the queue. And your comments and feedback is welcome. And if you are interested in joining the Panther Party or just reaching out to the Panther Party, you can reach us on email the Panther Party 1966 at gmail.com. Again, that's the Panther Party 1966 at gmail.com. All right, let's get into this tonight. I want to start off first by saying I want to thank everyone who called in to last week's show. Had some very productive conversation. And I kind of want to continue on that line tonight as well. I want to talk about what we can do to help each other. And I want to throw in my little catchphrase, we need each other, y'all. understand this, know this, that we need each other. We are all we got. So I kind of want to continue that particular discussion, and as well as talking about Collin County once again in the news, not for a good reason, for the murder of a young brother, Marvin D. Scott III. And this young man, lost his life on last Sunday, I believe was the date it was. And it really, I'm sure, hasn't been getting national attention, but around the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it has been in the news cycle over the last week. Also, I'm back rolling. And I'm on my way to Houston, actually. But I was just listening to the radio prior to the show starting, and I hear that there was another mass shooting in Boulder, Colorado, if I'm not mistaken. Colorado coming another hotbed. Texas, it's a hotbed. Anybody who's listening or online, because I had to start the show prior to, I was trying to wait for the news conference because I wanted to get some information. So if there's anybody that's listening online right now or maybe listening that has any updates on that, feel free to give me an update, because I'm curious to know about it myself. I'm curious to know how many were shot, curious to know who the shooter was, and what kind of excuse we can look for if the shooter was the right skin tone for being petted. But anybody that may have some updates on that, feel free as well to interject that. Like I say, I was trying to wait for the press conference, but I had to start the show and I didn't get to listen to the press conference. It hadn't started. So I'm still kind of wondering what's going on with that. Just another day in America where we are allowed to be terrorized by the most open terrorist ever known to man. But enough of that. I'm sure during the course of the show I'll get updated. Someone would have been listening and know about that situation and what's going on with that. But I wanted to talk about Collin County. And for those of you who are not familiar with Collin County, McKinney, Plano area, those are suburbs just north of Dallas. And for those of you who may recall the incident when the young girl was slammed to the ground by the police officer. That was McKinney, Texas. Also, a few months ago, and this was also in McKinney, Texas, they found a young woman hanged in her garage, and she was roommates with a Caucasian male. Come to find out, her body had been in that garage hanging for 2 or 3 days. It's been a while since I read that story. But this also, that particular incident also happened in Collin County, Texas. The situation that has happened of late, on last Sunday actually, with young brother, 26-year-old brother, Marvin B. Scott III. And this brother was at an outlet mall in Allen, Texas, which is another suburb that is north of Dallas. But while he was at this particular mall, the police approached him for something, but they found marijuana on him. I believe they found a joint and a little bit of marijuana, less than 2 ounces. And mind you, in the state of Texas, I believe that anything under a quarter pound is a misdemeanor. I might have to go back and double check that, but last time I read, they changed that law. So nonetheless, this young man is accosted by the police. They've yet to release the body cam footage of this incident, and I haven't saw any cell phone footage of this particular incident either. This gentleman was arrested, and they put a spit bag over him. He was actually having a mental episode. He's been diagnosed, I believe he's diagnosed with schizophrenia, if I wasn't mistaken, and I may be mistaken, but he's mental. And he was having a mental episode at the mall in Allen. And the police show up and they do their thing, and they arrest the brother, and a few hours later, he's dead while in custody. Now, they have suspended 7 people right now. They put them on vacation for now, while the Collin County Sheriff's Department and the Texas Rangers, who I have no faith in at all, but they're going to investigate themselves, and I'm sure those 7 people who are right now without work will be back at work in just a matter of time. These situations continue to happen. I mean, it is bad enough that we are targeted and harassed by these race soldiers. And then there's something to be said about Collin County law enforcement as well. And I'm not one to sit here and try to defend their actions. I'm not one to sit here and say that they need more training, because it's evident to me that they actually don't need more training, because in the situation with the gentleman who killed the Asian individuals, well, their training was sufficient enough to bring him in alive. Now, this young brother, Marvin D. Scott III, was taken to jail alive. So now the question lies, you know, what the hell happened to this brother, and why is he no longer with us? Another situation similar to what happened with Sandra Bland. And they will concoct some type of scenario, some type of story to justify his homicide, justifiable homicide. So we are definitely targeted. We are definitely in need of unity. This unity that we continue to practice is continuing to cost us our lives. And I am not one to promote violence, but damn, it is time for us to be in a self-defense mode, period. I am so tired of being tired, and that's kind of why I stepped away for a moment, because it messes with your mental, because you try to keep up with what's going on, and it's all around us, and then we have no plan of action as of yet. We're still not ready to unite. We're still not ready to plan. We're still not organized. And I've said this time and time again, these types of situations, like what happened with this young brother, is something that we can stop by simply standing together. And we can't continue to rely on these groups like Black Lives Matter. We can't continue to depend on these individuals that are also in the spotlight because of Black Death, because those individuals, and this is just my opinion, are in it for the money. They're in it for the money, not for fame, not for notoriety, for nothing more than the dollar. And it's sad that Black Death is so profitable. We, in our silence, have made our deaths very profitable for everyone except us. And unfortunately, this will continue to happen. I'm not one to react without thinking. And it is time for us collectively to sit down and really pay attention to what's going on, to sit down and really pay attention to what's happening and what will continue to happen. Even under this new president, who I have no faith in as well, who has within his first 75 days forsaken us, and jumped on the, let's say, the Asians bandwagon, the same one that your black vote helped put in the office, and we have a vice president who claims her Asian ethnicity more than she claims anything else. So here's another scenario where we do what we're asked to do, but we still get nothing in return. And this president, within his first 70 in office, despite the police brutality, the police murders that continue to happen, he has managed to remain completely silent on those matters and on those issues. So we need each other. We cannot depend on Joe Biden. We cannot depend on Kamala Harris. We cannot depend on this system. We cannot depend on this injustice system to work for us. It never has, and it never will. And the sooner that we realize that and act upon that, we can start to better our conditions. And then we can stop hearing about our young brothers being jailed for minor misdemeanor, finable infractions, and never to be heard from again. And the only way it'll stop is to stand against it. Period, point blank. And if we continue to stay on the same pattern that we consistently follow, getting together, candlelight visuals, praying and marching and forgiving, we're not going to make any ground. I just no longer can keep forgiving of people who never even apologize. See, in order to forgive someone, they have to first atone for what it is they've done. And they don't even recognize what they've done or what they do as wrong. So why do we keep expecting them to change? It's up to us to change in order for the condition to change. And in order for that to happen, it's going to take all of us, not some of us. It's going to take, I'll say this, it's going to take like-minded individuals who are ready to make the proper sacrifices in order to better our condition. And we can say that we're ready, but we have to sometimes lay down arms and prove that we're ready. And I made a point last night on a sister's show, and I want to make this point on my show tonight. And I've said this before. We can win without even firing a shot. We can win by simply strategizing. We can win by removing our financial power from them. We can win by uniting. We can win by working together. And by working together, the sky is the limit. And it bothers me that we don't understand that, and it bothers me that some of us are more willing to continue to work with the enemy than to work with one another. And like I say, these situations, like the young brother in Collin County, we can We can stop that. We have the power to stop that if we come together and stay together. Because, see, something that you don't hear about now, you don't hear about a Tatiana Jefferson's case now. You don't hear about O'Shea Terry's case now. There's so many of us that have been gunned down, and then the system will pay the hush money, and we hear nothing else about the case. What happened? Was there justice? Was there conviction? Was there jail time? And in order for that to change, we have to demand fair treatment. We have to demand certain things. You can't keep asking for what you've already asked for. That is what you're begging. And after you have asked 2 or 3 times, 500 or 600 times, still to no insanity to keep asking for the same thing. Why not try something different? Why not try each other? We the only ones can save us from what we're going through. And like I say, it's irritating to watch our young brothers keep dying while we watch these mass shooters, you know, taken into custody and afforded their day in court in front of a jury of their peers. So, you know, what are we going to do to bring about that change? You know, like I say, I just want to really kind of use this platform for think tanks where we can start brainstorming ideas, brainstorming solutions. And we've got to build together. I mean, it's so much that we need to do that we're just not there yet. We're just not there yet. So that is my opening commentary for tonight. Like I say, I just wanted to touch on the case that happened in Collin County where the young man lost his life. And also, I'm hoping that within the callers, we'll be able to also discuss what's going on in Boulder as well. Because like I say, I know that's breaking news, and I actually just caught wind of it about maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes before the show started, and I was actually trying to catch the news brief, but they didn't start it until after I had to start the show. So I'm going to take a quick break. Those who are listening online, call-in number is 914-205-5538. Call in. Be part of this discussion. Be part of this conversation. It's about changing the condition. It's about making a difference. So with that being said, I'm going to take a break. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. on the Panther Party Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Juan Gonzalez. Welcome to all of our listeners and viewers around the country and around the world. We begin today's show looking at the case of Assata Shakur, a legendary figure within the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army. On Thursday, she became the first woman ever to make the FBI's most wanted terrorist list. In addition, the FBI in the state of New Jersey doubled the reward for her capture to $2 million. Shakur was convicted in the May 2, 1973 killing of a New Jersey state trooper during a shootout that left one of her fellow activists dead. She was shot twice by police during the incident. In 1979, she managed to escape from jail, and she later fled to Cuba, where she received political asylum. She has long proclaimed her innocence. On Thursday, FBI Special Agent Aaron Ford spoke at a press conference announcing Shakur's placement on the Most Wanted Terrorist list. He refers to Shakur as Joanne Chesimar, her original name.
Openly and freely in Cuba, she continues to maintain and promote her terrorist ideology. She provides anti-U.S. government speeches espousing the Black Liberation Army message of revolution and terrorism. No person, no matter what his or her political or moral convictions are, is above the law. Joanne Chesimar is a domestic terrorist who murdered a law enforcement officer, execution style.
That's FBI Special Agent Aaron Ford. In a moment, we'll be joined by two guests, the scholar and activist Angela Davis, who faced her own murder trial decades ago, and Lennox Hines, Assata Shakur's longtime attorney for some 40 years. But first, we turn to Assata Shakur in her own words. In 1998, Democracy Now! Aired her reading an open letter to Pope John Paul II during his trip to Cuba. She wrote the message after New Jersey state troopers sent the Pope a letter asking him to call for her extradition.
My name is Assata Shakur, and I was born and raised in the United States. I am a descendant of Africans who were kidnapped and brought to the Americas as slaves. I spent my early childhood in the racist, segregated South. I later moved to the northern part of the country, where I realized that Black people were equally victimized by racism and oppression. I grew up and became a political activist, participating in student struggles, the anti-war movement, and most of all, in the movement for the liberation of African Americans in the United States. I later joined the Black Panther Party, an organization that was targeted by the COINTELPRO program, a program that was set up by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to eliminate all political opposition to the U.S. government's policies, to destroy the Black liberation movement in the United States, to discredit activists, and to eliminate potential leaders. Under the COINTELPRO program, many political activists were harassed, imprisoned, murdered, or otherwise neutralized. As a result of being targeted by COINTELPRO, I, like many other young people, was faced with the threat of prison, underground, exile, or death. The FBI, with the help of local police agencies, systematically fed false accusations and fake news articles to the press, accusing me and other activists of crimes we did not commit. Although in my case the charges were eventually dropped or I was eventually acquitted, the national and local police agencies created a situation where, based on their false accusations against me, any police officer could shoot me on sight. It was not until the Freedom of Information Act was passed in the mid-70s that we began to see the scope of the United States government's persecution of political activists. At this point, I think that it is important to make one thing very clear. I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty. To make a long story short, I was captured in New Jersey in 1973 after being shot with both arms held in the air and then shot again from the back. I was left on the ground to die, and when I did not, I was taken to a local hospital where I was threatened, beaten, and tortured. In 1977, I was convicted in a trial that can only be described as a legal lynching. In 1979, I was able to escape with the aid of some of my fellow comrades. I saw this as a necessary step, not only because I was innocent of the charges against me, but because I knew that the racist legal system in the United States, I would receive no justice. I was also afraid that I would be murdered in prison. I later arrived in Cuba, where I am currently living in exile as a political refugee. The New Jersey State Police and other law enforcement officials say they want to see me brought to justice. But I would like to know what they mean by justice. Is torture justice? I was kept in solitary confinement for more than 2 years, mostly in men's prisons. Is that justice? My lawyers were threatened with imprisonment and imprisoned. Is that justice? I was tried by an all-white jury without even the pretext of impartiality and then sentenced to life in prison plus 33 years. Is that justice? Let me emphasize that justice for me is not the issue I am addressing here. It is justice for my people that is at stake. When my people receive justice, I am sure that I will receive it too.
That is an excerpt of a letter, Asada Shakur.
All right. Peace. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I am on tonight discussing a case for those of you who may not have heard about this particular case in Collin County, which is just north of Dallas. Young gentleman Marvin Scott III was taken into custody for a finable misdemeanor amount of marijuana, only to wind up dead on last Sunday. And like I say, this particular case, the seven people who were on duty have been suspended. And Collin County Sheriff Department really had a big press conference about it and really sounded all gung-ho about how they were going to get to the bottom of this. And, you know, this is stuff that we always hear. We're going to, you know, we're going to solve this. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to find out. And yet and still, we always end up with the same answers. None. And that is what's happening in Texas. And I know in so many other places as well that we just don't hear about. And that's why another reason it's important for us to know about these things. It's important for us to talk about these things. And not only that, it's important for us to act on these things as well. Like I say, our inaction is what allows it to continue to happen. And action is something as simple as serious conversing about the situations, real solutions, coming up with plans of action, with plans for growth, because in this new world that we're experiencing right now, I've said this time and time again, why not start creating some of our own new normals and make them normal? You know, let's rebuild our communities, rebuild the village. You know, and I brought that point up last night on my sister Nikki's show about just rebuilding the village and doing us, because despite what this system and what this country tells us, we do have a very rich culture, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Nobody has a perfect culture. If that were the case, the world wouldn't be in the shape it's in right now. But it's about, like I say, bringing like-minded individuals together who are seriously concerned about solutions and not just the same rhetoric. I heard something, and I don't know how true this is, but it does not surprise me nonetheless. It was brought to my attention last night, and I kind of wanted to, I kind of touched on it earlier, but I really want to go into this about, because in the last month, Black Lives Matter has been called out. A lot of these individuals are being called out. And on last night, it was brought to my attention, and I'm going to research it for sure, because I'm interested in knowing, and if it is true, I'm kind of with this sister, because it's Tamir Rice's mother. And if you remember, recall, not just a few weeks ago, you had the brothers call out Black Lives Matter up in St. Louis. And now we have Tamir Rice's mother pretty much telling them that, you know, she didn't want them using her son's name or likeness any longer, you know. And then I don't blame her, because this is me. We gotta, just because people look like us doesn't always mean that they have our best interests at hand. And with that being said, Black Lives Matter is, in my opinion, one of those organizations, just like, in fact, in my opinion, was one of those organizations who were just gung-ho and had no type of plan. Now, all this money that Black Lives Matter and all these other individuals are reaping off of Black Death should be spread throughout poor communities, throughout those communities where those crimes happen, you know. But what are these individuals truly doing for the people besides standing in front of a microphone and in front of a camera and selling their books and whatever else they can sell to you, while profiting off of Black Death? So I'm all with, and I heard that some of the Black Lives Matter people were kind of upset with her and didn't have nice things to say, and that is bothersome as well, because if you are here for the right reason, you are not going to denigrate a mother who has lost her child at the hands of a race soldier, and this is what your so-called movement is all about. So, I don't know. Like I say, we've got to definitely stay on our good foot, stay on our P's and Q's, and start understanding the relevance of unity. Start understanding the relevance of group economics. Start understanding the relevance of working together. You know, unit means one. Thus the word unity, unit. So, like I say, it's just so much that needs to be done. It's so much that needs to be said, and we're just not saying it. We're just not doing it. And like I say, our own silence is even complicity. So I am probably going to cut the show short tonight because I've got some things to do. I'm going to probably go another 30 minutes. But if you are listening and do want to get in on the conversation, you can call in 914-205-5538. Press the 1 to join the conversation. I'm going to go about 30 more minutes. Would like to definitely have someone to call in and let me know what's going on with the situation that's happening in Boulder. Like I say, all I know is that there was an active shooter at a King Super grocery store up there earlier. From what I did hear and gather from the news reports that a couple of news reports that I was able to catch before the show started was that there's definitely casualties. I feel like the delay in giving a briefing is they got to get their story together, because I feel like we're going to have another terrorist doing what terrorists do, and then we'll have a system that will try to justify another terrorist act. And it's sad that in a so-called free society, you can't even go to the damn grocery store without worrying about getting shot. You can't go to a damn, I mean, it's just ridiculous the level of violence that this society accepts. And in some cases, allows, like with the case in Collin County, I really don't see much of a backlash, and I don't see people in the DFW area marching for that young man, and now everybody is on the Asian bandwagon. And like I say, we've been unjustly treated for years and years. And nobody comes to our aid. And sometimes, most times, we don't even come to our aid. So we've got a lot of work to do, a lot of things that need to change. And, you know, it is sad to say, but I guess we'll just sit back and wait for the next one, because that's what we continue to do. We sit back and we wait on the next one to happen, and we'll march and sing a little bit about it, and then another one will happen. And we all know that nothing's going to happen to those seven people who are on a paid vacation right now. And I also understand that family will now be part of a group that nobody wants to be a part of. And I'm sure that within the next few months, they'll be offered hush money as well. And like I say, we'll just sit back and watch the Texas Rangers and the Sheriff's Department investigate themselves leniently. And we'll sit back and, like I say, well, it's just disheartening that we don't understand, and I'm not going to say understand, because we understand what's happening. We're just not reacting to what's happening. And it continues to happen because they figured out our pattern even. I mean, it's kind of like you broke into the opposing teams and you know all their plays, so you're already one hand up. And we don't do enough researching. We don't do enough studying. We don't do enough conversing amongst one another either to bring about a change. Some of us are so quick to point a finger of blame at somebody who's actually trying to make a change. And in the meanwhile, you'll sit back and do nothing. And it's not all about pulling guns. It's not all about violence. You have to be tactical. You have to be thorough. And you have to have a plan of action, plain and simple. And we have to go on the defense in order for an offense to function properly. And in order for an offense to function properly, it takes practice. Not a few days. It takes years of practice and bonding and camaraderie in order to reach a goal and in order to attain the somewhat unattainable. And all that's about is ain't no I in team. It's about us, not me, not you. It's about all of us, and we all have a part to play in this. In order for this problem to be corrected, we must unite. We must come together. And if we don't, we're going to continue to see what we see. You know, like I say, if we had acted accordingly with Trayvon Martin, a lot of the others that happened would not have had a chance to happen. Because, see, then we could have had a proverbial knee in their neck by now if we'll stay together on some shit and stop just coming together for these tragedies. It's messing us up. It's desensitizing us. It's making us feel as if it's unreal, but it's real. And we have definitely, like I say, got to start working together, understand how much we need each other. We are saviors. We keep praying for saving. Well, the prayer has been heard. Now it's time for us to act accordingly and in order to make some things happen. And if we don't, we'll continue to see what it is we're seeing and what it is we're experiencing. Got a couple of callers who want to jump in real quick. I'm going to open up their mics. Hello, my brother Kevin. My brother Mark. Brother Kevin, your mic is open, brother. Welcome, brother Mark. Your mic is open as well. Welcome, brother.
Peace, brother. Peace, brothers. What's going on?
Peace.
Kind of wanted to touch on something. You had said something about the Boulder, the incident out in Boulder. They just had right now, they're having a press conference, and this is kind of like listening to the Migos. Because they haven't said shit. Several people have talked, and they haven't said shit. They basically, they've got the guy in custody. Now, they've been there for five hours already at this point. They've been there for 5 hours, active scene. Multiple dead, but they won't tell how many people were killed. They got several agencies out there, yet they keep putting this Boulder cop up here who still ain't saying nothing, talking about how early it is in the investigation, all of this other stuff. And when I see this, I got to thinking about something you had said earlier about the police shootings, you know, when our people get shot, you know, and killed. And I had to think of the times where they didn't have the police briefing. And I had to think about how powerful these police briefings are and how they use them in order to get, that's the first thing that gets people to starting to think they're on it. So we can relax. And I was thinking, right. I just sat here and I'm looking at them now, not saying nothing. Still don't know how many people are dead. Still don't know the race of this guy. How is it that he got took alive in such a hostile situation? It's a few things I'm just curious about, but ain't heard no answers to none of that. And I had to stop and think about historically, this has been the way it works. Wanted to touch on something else you said. You said you was on Sister Nikki's show listening, and that they had mentioned the something we had talked about a while back, almost a little more than a year ago, about Black Lives Matter. And I told you then how there were certain things that was wrong with them. There's a guy named Chatfield Kent who they tried to extort. And I actually got involved to make sure that they did not extort him any further. And that actually Mike Brown's parents also have an issue with the fact that they see their son's name in the literature a lot, yet they have not seen any assistance from Black Lives Matter so much as a I hope you're okay card or anything while still using these tragedies to raise funds, which seems to be what the entire wheel was made to do. Because when they took the money back in 2016, 2017, that told me a lot right there. That told me a lot because I was thinking, wow, you're going to take a $100 million payoff. You've just been bought and sold, literally. And then I saw how they were used last year and, you know, how they allowed themselves to be used. But the moment of truth for me was when they wanted to sue the mayor of D.C. for putting it in the streets. And I'm like, oh, so now that's your brand. So you don't care if Black Lives Matter because now it's your brand. You know, and once again, just like the word nigger, we've been branded yet again. That I use.
Right. That's a good point, yeah. And we have had that discussion several times. You made that point. And, yep, here we are now. People are actually realizing it and seeing it, you know. And I'm, like I said, I'm kind of glad she's calling them out like that because, you know, have some respect for those in which you're supposedly serving, you know, even if it's fake, be respectful. And it's not even that anymore. It's just, it's all about the money. The name has been, like, say, trademark. So if anybody uses it now, legal action can be taken. You know, it's about the money instead of the people. And Brother Mark, welcome. Mark, thank you for joining
us. Peace, brother. Peace. I'm so glad to and thanks for taking my call, man. And you know, I'm so glad that you uttered that word respect. You seem so surprised that they would be so disrespectful. But when you reminded me of that, when you said respect, it reminded me of that old Staple Singer song. You know, when you don't respect yourself, how you gonna respect anybody else? So, you know, they sold us out. They sold themselves out. They sold us out. So how the fuck are you going to respect anybody else? So I'm not surprised at the level of disrespect, nor am I surprised at the Mike Brown family and the Tamir Rice families wanted to separate themselves and not be used their likeness. Name or likeness being used, and I agree wholeheartedly with that because as you mentioned, Brother Kevin, we've discussed many times the red flags that come up in all the names that come up when it comes to Black Lives Matter and the let's just say seedy associations and as you mentioned. The extortion effort a while ago. So yeah, there's many red flags with Black Lives Matter. And I also want to touch on something that you mentioned earlier, Brother Melvin, when you said with the Trayvon Martin case, had we solved that issue at that time, maybe we wouldn't be going through this surge of violence against us. And from what you said that, to me that equates to going after this fool's head. You know, had he been liquefied at that time after the trial or whatever, then perhaps we wouldn't see this surge in violence against us. I couldn't agree more. Should have been done. He should have been he should, and he would have served as an example as not to fuck with us, leave us alone. If I heard you right.
Yeah, and honestly, to kind of piggyback on that, I mean, if we had just stood firm and, you know, a lot of things, like, I was really hoping that, I mean, and I know it's, you know, in the wind, and that's 27 mils, a lot of money for anybody, but I was hoping that they would not take that money because that's, you know, nothing more than hush money when it comes to these cases. And when you take that money, you can no longer even speak about your lost loved one, you know. So, you know, and then just like with Breonna Taylor, they paid her family that money and then they let them some bitches go. You know, and I'm thinking they're going to do the same thing here. They paid the $27 million. They're going to let him go, give him a little slap on the wrist. They've been paid their money. So there's nothing that they can really say nor do at that particular, you know, after that particular point. You know?
Well, I got a question, though. Really, I'm wondering if any of that, so with in the provisions of that hush money contract and that $27 million, I wonder if that prevents them from starting, perhaps starting a foundation in her name, or if they have to, if they're allowed to do that. I would imagine that would be part of the provisions if it's, you know, with that kind of paper, you know, and you're supposed to not mention this case at all. Does the law allow you to start a foundation in her name against let's just say violence against women, something like that?
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. That is a good question. I'd really like to read one of those, you know, contracts in full. And I'm sure you can probably get a hold of them. They should be public record, you know.
Should be, yeah.
And I would really like to read what, you know, what the stipulations specifically say. Because you know the stipulations, because, like I say, after the money's paid, you hardly ever hear from those individuals again, you know. And that's just like with the case. I've been really following the...
They actually agreed not to say anything bad about the city or the police. That's the only way they can cash the check. But it's wrote on the check. If you've ever had a settlement from, like, a insurance payment from a car accident, if you actually read what it said, 9 out of 10 times it's going to basically bind you as soon as you sign it to cash it. Binds you to a agreement, and if you break the agreement, you can be sued, and they can take you and then they snatch that money back and take some more. Yes, they can do that. They usually put a time limit on it, like that they can't mention the city of Louisville or the police for so many years. So this is why you don't see them come like right out with that $5 or $6 million and make documentaries about their family member and said you don't see nothing. That's why.
Right.
The confidentiality agreement is a big part of the settlement, always.
Right.
Always. And it's funny how much millions it takes for some people to say, all right, I won't say nothing.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah, because I was, and I said I was going to look back into that too, because I haven't heard anything else about the Tatiana Jefferson case, you know, since, you know, her mom passed, then her dad passed, and now it's like, I don't know if the case is at a standstill or what. And then all in the same breath, you don't hear anything from those attorneys anymore either, you know. So, like I say, it's just sad that, you know, we know about these incidents and these cases, and sometimes we never know the outcome. You know, we never get to hear the outcome. But on no, that, I'm going to take a quick break. Oh, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was going to say, I wasn't aware that you were going to take a break. I was still thinking that that you were going to cut this show short, and I was going to mention that I'm reminded
I'm probably
of...
probably going to 8:30.
Okay, all right then. Well, what I was going to say was that, and I'll make this brief, I recall now... With that question about if the family can start a foundation, I recall with the parents of Ron Goldman in the OJ case, mm-hmm. didn't they? Because I'm certain that the father came out with a book, and I don't know if he was coming down on the city of Los Angeles or the LAPD for botching the case, the first trial. But I know that he came out with a book. So I'm wondering if there was some kind of a non-disclosure agreement signed and various provisions to keep him
I hope he didn't sign one, to be honest with you, because to me, when you allow the system that put in place the mechanics that cost your relative justice, then the worst thing you can do is compound that by agreeing to stay silent in the face of what they've done. So I hope he didn't. You know, I have my own thoughts about that whole OJ thing and everything, but the father was not really bound by that because of the side of it that he was on. OJ was, you know, acquitted of the murders, but civilly he was found to be completely responsible, and they took his money.
$35 million.
They took his money.
They haven't gotten the money.
Because it was the most public case probably in history. So there was no real
$35 million. He just on paper.
The whole world watched his trial, you know, so... Most of our cases, when we get killed in the street, they don't make it to no media at all. So,
But I was just reminded of that when I thought about if the families of the police murder victims or even Zimmerman's punk ass if they can because they've got books. I know Zimmerman's got a fucking book and doing autographs and shit, and then. I know the family of Trayvon Martin, they're active. The mother and father are active, and so I was just wondering about that. That's all. And with that, I'll yield.
No, think about how many times have you heard the family really come out after they get paid out and shit on the city, the municipality, or the police department. And I'm talking
That's
about
right.
when the cops are the ones that did it. Forget the Trayvon and what's his name, Zimmerman. That was private. The police was going to let him get away with it, but they didn't pull the trigger on that one. That was different. I'm looking at the ones where they're responsible, and nobody came out and said a goddamn thing. You know, nobody's out there... you know, it's like, this is why I think groups like Black Lives Matter can get traction, because they're not bound by any of that shit.
Yeah.
No accountability whatsoever, still.
And pure profit. I mean, what is it costing them to keep saying these victims' names, you know, and to put up pictures of the family and put out literature and set up the protests and stuff like that. They're obviously pulling in more than they're putting out. Let's just be real about it. It's got to be. They had a banner year last year. They had a banner year last year.
Yeah, it was a good year for sensationalism.
They got a lot of donations, bro.
Yeah.
A lot.
just like Black Lives Matter. All the money. I mean, you look at all the money that Black Lives Matter gets funneled, and then you compare it to all the money that's
Black
given
Lives
to the
Matter.
Other agitators and militia groups and whatnot. All the money that's thrown around for them. So there's a lot of donations going around. You're right.
Several groups came up. Antifa, Black Lives Matter, but here's where another set of groups came up as well. Oath Keepers, Proud Boys, a bunch of those too.
Yeah, where are they getting
people
that money?
Donated more money last year to their causes than in a whole lot of years prior, and a lot of that was fueled by what you saw in the street. The news clip,
right,
where there are people everywhere, the guy in Oklahoma sitting on his ranch, thinking, you know, he sees it one way. The guy sitting on his couch in L.A. sees it another. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And both of them are going to donate to those who they think will help curb this bullshit.
Right.
The Black Lives Matter, I hate to say it, they never promised no one a rose garden. They just started saying Black Lives Matter. And showing up at all of these free murders that were happening that they didn't have to even do anything for other than go there.
And as you mentioned before about other movements usurping Black Liberation Movement.
Hey, like, man.
Like the feminists.
For a long time.
Like the LGBT.
Yeah. It's been happening for a long time. See, that's why when I hear the calls from you, I know that the problem is, and the biggest problem is always going to be money, because money is what will create the unity. The gay community, when they decided that they were going to put their money in and go with candidates and start pushing for laws and legislation, they went ahead and they put that money on the table and they didn't trip about it. Black people are not there yet. Black people put money on the table, they're going to trip about it. There'll be a fight before there'll be any unity. And that's the sad thing. And it doesn't matter where people think they are with it or whatever. It's not going to matter. Because if one of them starts tripping, then the rest going to start looking at the table. Once they start looking at the money, they stop looking at the cause that the money was there to fix.
I think black folks have a bigger issue with that kind of payment and services not fucking rendered. I think that's what the issue is. It ain't the amount of money on the table. It ain't even about the money. It's about the services that were paid that were not rendered. And I think that's part of it.
Black Lives Matter does not have any breakfast kitchens in no cities. They ain't got no health clinics nowhere. They ain't got nothing like that nowhere with all of the money they've taken in. Panthers did it on pennies. So they could do it with these hundreds of millions that they have, and they don't. They don't. You know? So that's a big problem, because, you're not going to convince us that all of this money is for you to buy water and picket signs for protests and shit. Fuck out of here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, somebody get rich.
Somebody get rich to be a giant mouthpiece.
That, like you said earlier, Kevin, about the police doing all this talking and not saying shit.
They ain't said nothing. I still, right now, I saw the whole thing, man, sitting here. I still don't know how many people died. I know a cop got killed, so that changes things.
Okay.
Yeah, a cop was killed, and there were multiple victims, so that means quite a few people died just because they went to get some goddamn food at King Super.
True. I bet you,
but
Betty White.
Full transparency, because I'm sure y'all know, if you know the Denver area and you know where Boulder is and you know what kind of city Boulder is.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm not in an uproar about what's happening, because if my mind serves me right, I'm about to see where a whole bunch of white people were killed by a white guy. And this one don't explain some of the shit that just fall there not want to look at white extremists. You know what I'm saying?
Let me bring in, I think this is Brother Patrick, actually. Let me bring him in to the conversation here. Peace, brother. Welcome. Thank you for calling.
Hey, what's up? What's up, guys? It's Patrick. Just listening in. So some of the money that was given, I just want to give a few of the companies that gave money to Black Lives Matter. DoorDash gave $500,000. A company called Deckers gave $500,000. Amazon gave $10 million. Gatorade gave $500,000. Microsoft gave $250,000 and some technology. A company called Glossier gave $500,000. I mean, the list goes on. It's a long list.
Right.
Airbnb gave $500,000. So, I mean, it's just a long list. And
is it my imagination, or did the billion-dollar companies give less money and the million-dollar companies gave more? That's what it sounds like.
You said
Microsoft gave
$250,000, like, yeah,
right?
It looks like that, yes.
And that's $1 billion.
That was the exception of Amazon.
Yeah. So it's quite a bit of money, but that's how the game goes. You know what I mean? That's how the game is run.
It begs to ask, what do they expect in return for these donations, for these frivolous donations? Because if Amazon is giving $10 million. And everyone else is given a fraction of that, what do any of them expect in return?
That they won't get picketed at their place of employment or business, and they won't, no matter what. Amazon workers are getting shitted on right now. Black Lives Matter should be all over that, and they haven't said a word about it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of it. I think the other part is that they agree with their agenda. And, you know, their agenda was, you know, it's interesting. When they first came out, like, a few years back, after they first came out, on their website, their stated goals were different than they are now a little bit. They've had to change that site a couple of times because initially they put it all out there. They put it all out there. And that's, I think, that's what the companies are investing in. They're investing in that agenda that they originally had out there about breaking up the family and all this kind of stuff. So, and it was really, you can tell it was anti-black male when they first came out. And then they got so much backlash that they started taking that stuff off. They're stripping certain things out. And now they've kind of stripped it down to, you know, you know, that's the return. The return is really LGBTQ agenda, some of the other stuff that they were pushing is really in line. If you look at what they were pushing, it's in line with Antifa. It's really, and they admit they're trained Marxists. They admit that we're trained Marxists, and the guy who trained them is a white guy. I forget his name. He's the one who trained them on Marxism. So here we go, right?
Right.
Wow, if they're based on the premise of Marxism, then that's really that should really terrify the powers that be. That's why they're so, I guess that's why they're so deaf on them, because I wasn't aware of that. And thank you for making me aware of that. About the whole
Marxism every day with the companies. They practice Marxism every day.
Yeah.
It's the government.
Yeah.
With corporations, they just don't practice that with the people.
There's no secret that that's the way that the United States is going. It's not really a big
secret.
That's the way the United States is going. So they're not scaring the government of anything, because that's the
with
way
the capitalist front.
Going. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. And we don't. And the United States is not a full capitalist country. Capitalism,
no, it is not.
In its true form, does not have. Would not have Social Security. It wouldn't have bailouts. It wouldn't have, these stimulus
packages.
Yeah, it wouldn't have any of that stuff. It's always been a hybrid system, right? It's always been a hybrid system. It's funny if people start, oh, it's capitalism. It sounds like, nah, not really. It's hybrid.
In a true capitalist society, those bankers would have went to jail. They would have went to jail.
Absolutely.
In a true capitalist society, as opposed to being bailed out.
Yep.
The car companies, the same thing. All of them would have wound up in jail, and it would have been taken over by the state.
Well, in a capitalist system, it would allow. See, right now, if you want to do something different in banking, you can't because of the regulations. But if those, it's kind of regulated. But it's really a good old boys network. So when things go down, they pick the winners and the losers. Goldman Sachs is always going to be the winner. They're always going to get the money, right?
No matter what.
But in a true, capitalist society, in 2008, all of those banks would have been allowed to fail. Nobody would have been bailed out. It has to be capitalism.
And especially with the people's money,
has never been
allowed.
Right. Capitalism in its true form has never been tried. Nobody has ever tried that in human history. Because that would presuppose that everything is fair across the board.
Yeah, but it
you
doesn't
know what I mean?
Work.
That
capitalism
would say
sets
that,
up a
that,
system
that
where
that,
we, like we have, where you have a Bill Gates. And a Bezos, and these guys are like super billionaires. They made a lot of money last year while people were suffering.
Well,
but
here's the thing. People don't have the information, and that's part of what went wrong last year. What went wrong last year is that they used propaganda to put fear into people. So they weren't thinking. So when I was telling people, pay attention to your finance. If this thing goes wrong, you're going to have to, open a Robinhood account, start picking some stocks, do what you need to do, because this thing could go all wrong. But people wouldn't listen to me because they were so scared. All they can think about was what was coming through that TV. It had their mind. It didn't have mine, but it had their mind. So it took a while for it to get through to them. I made more money last year than I ever made because I was able to focus, right? And this is what I'm saying. Now, a few people, like a few friends of mine and stuff, they were able to focus. After the initial, 3-4 weeks, they made an assessment. Okay, this is the real danger, kind of, sort of. And they started focusing, like, okay, I need to really get on top of this because anything can happen. Right? And a few people were able to focus. We should have been able to focus ourselves, but we don't have what one thing I think we should have. Networks. Real networks. Just networks of guys. Not an organization. Not an organization. Everybody can have their own. Some kind of religious affiliation. Everybody can have their own. A network of like-minded people that can come together and start disseminating information and get certain things done and do it at the drop of a hat, almost like something that comes together like an amoeba and that can break apart like an that can come together when needed. And I think those are the things that's needed. I mean, really, if you look on Blog Talk, really, all of the guys that have similar shows on Blog Talk should be able to call each other up and do a show or do a Zoom or something like that for the public to say, okay, this is what's going on, blah, 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 blah. And then you can go back and break off and do your own shows, right? It's like you come together organically when you need to. Those are the type of things, you know, those networks, I think those networks are needed. Just a thought.
I love it. I feel like you was in my head. I was thinking something similar to that, that I wanted to go talk to the brothers about, where we just did something like that and still had the autonomy to do our own shows, but that we would have one where we were all there. We were all present, and this was not his platform or my platform. That day, it's our platform, and we use it that way.
Right, and it can be done in times of crisis or in times when we need some, you know, when we need, you know, and those things are helpful. Like, especially, like, if you look at what happened in Houston with the flood. Like, after what happened in New Orleans, when the flood happened in Houston, we should have been able to mobilize, like, so quick. Those networks should have just came together into this one monster, right? And then we should have been able to just rain resources down on Houston, you know, in the right way so that the brothers and sisters could have had something, right? And then after it's over, we can all just break off and go back into our own thing. You know, it's almost like a what do they call those things? Those, I can't even remember the name of it. The movie where the cars break apart, come together, and form robots and all that kind of stuff. Like
Transformers?
Something like that. Yeah, Transformers.
The GoBot
is Transformers.
almost like a Transformer.
That's quite a
Whenever we need to. We just seem to come together. We're able to form and put stuff together real quick. We're able to get on a Zoom with 100 of us around the country.
What's funny about you saying that is I'm thinking about who came up with that with the anime, like for the Voltron and all of those, and it was the Asians. And I thought about how, in spite of the wars fought on their turf when it wasn't even about them, and all of the other things, you know, and where they got forced into becoming basically a drug powerhouse just to be able to eat.
Yep.
They found a way to unify when they needed to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, another example of what the fruit of it, and we still won't do it. So it's ironic. I'm sorry.
you know what? I think you would find, especially in times of an emergency or something like that. I mean, you would have to come together and network before then, of course, but I think you would find that people would be open to it. I think some people would be open to it. You'd find that, mm-hmm. I think. Hey, this is, we're talking about this on Thursday at 7. We're going to do a Zoom call. We want you to be there, blah, blah, blah. I think most people, you know, especially if you're talking about people who are talking about black empowerment and pan-Africanism and those kind of things, I think they would do it. I think they would put aside, you know, whatever, and they would come together. As long as they can maintain their autonomy and go back and do what they, you know, they normally do, I think, you know, what's the downside?
The downside, though, is that we've been trained to be really quick to judge each other. And to want to be in charge, and like we were talking about with the money on the table and all of that. So there's a lot of challenges to that. It's not impossible. And the numbers that it could do in time, I think, would be great. I just think that it's going to be a hard start for a lot of people because that forces them to have to really dig inside themselves and break some really fucking bad habits in order for this to work.
It's just motivation, right? It's just motivation to do it. I think we all, if I put all of you guys on Blog Talk in a room and I say, hey, we need to get this done, there may be some bickering. There may be a little dissension. But if I came in and there was a bunch of guys behind me with machine guns and said, you guys do it now or anybody will step outside this door getting shot, and you guys better have this done and figured out in 2 hours. How many of you guys wouldn't buckle down and get it done in 2 hours?
To be honest with you, if I said this, you would have started a shootout because if you say that, we came there for one thing and now we got cats with machine guns in there to force us to do it, we're probably not going to get much done and the body count's going to be pretty high.
You'll get it done. And another thing, or if I had a cash incentive, or if I said, look, you guys get this done, everybody gets $500,000. If you get it done. If you don't, you get nothing.
How about we get it done or our survival is at stake? Because none of the other shit really matters.
But no,
you know what I mean?
What I'm saying is that is based on the motivation. So you're right. If that's the motivation, I think you get the right people at the table. I think there's some issues and there's some problems, but I don't think when it's something reasonable, when it's a reasonable request, I don't think it's that bad. I don't think you get that much dissension. I think I want to be at the table with the reasonable people.
I don't know if there's such a thing as the right people, but I want to be at the table with the reasonable people because right and wrong is about perspective. I want to be at the table with the people who actually are at the table to try to get something figured out because some of them are just going to be there to respond. Some are going to be there to be angry. Some are going to want to just say they was there. I just want to talk with the reasonable folks because those are the ones that eventually some shit will come out of. The rest of that shit is fluff.
Right. I agree. I guess I take a more optimistic view of, people participating, but I think it's worth a shot. I think those networks need to be formed.
You need to have them on more often, Melvin.
Yeah, he definitely has the right ideas, and really that's what it's all about because that's what we all doing, putting our ideas out there. And I agree with everything that he said, that's what I've been preaching for the longest, building networks where we can, have safe zones and have like-minded brothers and sisters that's looking out for one another as opposed to looking to do each other in, So I definitely agree. We're definitely going to have to link up with that.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about putting it to the test one day. I really am. I'm thinking about calling these other similar shows and stuff like that and really putting it to the test and try to see if I can get people to the table, right? With a solid agenda and, a few action items and see what we can do.
That's what I was going to say because thinking about it is one thing, but putting it to action is another. And with that said, I think that with us, like you said, networking, and then within that network, all of us pooling all of our resources would generate exactly what Patrick is talking about. Generate more sales of a vast network.
Yeah, I think those things are very, very important. I mean, everyone else has networks against us. I mean, I just think we ought to try. I mean, at some point, we have to put all the other stuff aside. I mean, we've you know, we've tried a lot of other things, man. I just think that we just got to get to it. I mean, people who don't want to participate or who don't think it's worth it or whatever, that's fine. There's no problem with that. I got no problem with people who don't want to participate in certain things. They do what they need to do. None of us has solved the problem yet. Nobody has solved the problem. And that's why I'm really reluctant to kind of go against people if they're trying to do something. Now, if they're trying to go against us, then that's a different story. That's traitor behavior. But if you're trying to do something, nobody solved the problem. None of us, right?
Conventional methods and conventional wisdom hasn't really gotten us anywhere in the last 200 years. So why not try something new?
Absolutely,
I couldn't agree more.
Now, there's a lot of things going against us. Somebody sent me a clip of a show, a morning show, a cable TV, where they were talking about this NFAC group, right? They're bringing that up again. Now they're getting mainstream news coverage, right? Do you guys know which group I'm talking about?
Yeah, the No Fucking Around group.
Yeah, whatever. That whole thing, right? So I thought that whole thing was dead after they had the video of, what's his name, Grandmaster Jay? After they had the video of
him. He's still in custody.
Huh?
He's still in custody, right?
And that doesn't mean anything to me, to be quite honest. When I saw him at the Trump rally, when I saw him doing security at the Trump rally, he's an agent.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that he's in custody doesn't mean anything. Right? It means absolutely nothing. And guess what? When they put him in custody, they put the founder of the Proud Boys in. They got him on some charges, too, now. You see what I mean? So there's something fishy going on with that whole thing. And anybody associated with it needs to get away from it as fast as they can, because one day, we all know how this goes. Something's going to go down. Somebody's going to get hurt or killed or something, whether it's real or a false flag, and everybody in that whole thing is going down. All those unsuspecting people who want to do the best thing and who really are trying to do something and look for a way, they're all going down. They're all going down. So, yeah, that whole thing, we got that going on, and then we got this Asian thing going on that just popped up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Popped up out of nowhere. They have a black guy in New York who said he got on the train, went to an Asian guy and said, "You Asian MF," and punched him in the face and just walked. They have him on camera. Dude's walking away on his phone. He's not even running. There's police all over the subway and up top. This dude has on a pink sweatshirt, white pants. I mean, you couldn't not spot this guy. He's able to do this and apparently walk away. And just walk away on his phone slow? He's walking slow. Nobody don't know where he went, what happened, but they have his face, and they got a nice clear picture of him. It's not even like the grainy subway pictures that you get when they're looking for a suspect. They got a nice clear one of him. You know, like he posed for the camera. I'm like, what is going on here? Right?
Right.
And the guy who took the picture of the Asian guy with supposed blood on his face, that guy is somebody looked on his Twitter. He's got nothing but "I love New York Police PD and Blue Lives Matter" and all this kind of stuff. I said, oh, okay, all right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. We know the game.
So,
it's the same old trick. It's the same.
Right. To me, when you see high profile shit like that, I'll give you another example. When you see shit like that, it's to distract you from the shit that they don't want us to fucking see. So when stuff like that is going on, look for something, read between the lines and look for the deeper meaning and look for the deeper news of what they don't want us to see. Because I'm looking at this whole situation down where you at, Melvin, with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And another public lynching of a nigga that's been nothing but a pillar of society since he's been there. But now since he doesn't want to play for them anymore, now he's the worst person in the world. So I'm looking
right.
at this. I'm looking at this and wondering what's really going on down deep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much, much deeper than we can imagine. Because why would they suddenly
yeah.
publicly lynch this brother and with no criminal charges, just based on hearsay? So and then to mar him and to because he doesn't want to play, he's been adamant about not wanting to play for that organization anymore because they're a poorly run organization and for whatever litany
right.
of other reasons. But why are they doing this to this brother suddenly?
Do you remember what he tweeted out? What was it, a couple years ago now? About, wasn't it Deshaun Watson that tweeted out about blacks being the real Jews?
Yeah, he did.
And you remember? Do you remember the backlash he got and how they wouldn't let him and all of this stuff? It had to do with the whole Nick Cannon thing. Remember that? And when Nick Cannon said that. And then Deshaun Watson came out and did that. One of the interesting things, if you ever noticed any coverage about that whole thing, they never mentioned the Blacks for Jews part. They only mentioned all the
right.
other stuff that was said. They never, if you look at any of the coverage of that incident, the main part of that was Blacks for the original Jews. But they never mentioned it. They never mentioned it on TV. They never mentioned it in print. They didn't even want to talk about it. But that was the thing that really got them. That was the thing that really pissed them off. So I knew that they were going to come after him continually. And I was thinking, like, you got to really watch out for yourself now because they're coming after you.
Yeah, well, so he's now – he hasn't been charged with anything yet. There's 10 – now there's 10. First there was only one, then there's two, then there's three. Now there's 10 women that say that he was inappropriate.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's
cause we'll see.
That's how it happens. That's how it happens. It happens all at once, right? And the same thing with Cosby. Even the same thing with Cuomo. He pissed somebody off in New York. He pissed somebody off at the DNC. He did something because now they're all coming after him. Right? Before, remember he was supposed to be all, he should run for president? Now they're all like, he's a scumbag.
Probably Giuliani.
May have been. You just know. You never know.
Yeah,
but, you
it
know,
wouldn't surprise me at all
the
if Giuliani, if Rudy Giuliani is the one that greased the wheels for this whole thing.
Yeah, but his own people have come after him. That's what I mean. He pissed off somebody in the power structure. And it all happens at one time. When they come to get you, those stories all come out. Women come out of the woodwork. Women you ain't seen in a long time, don't know, never did anything. Next thing you know, they're on TV talking about you. And you're looking at it like, what? That's how the game
yeah,
goes,
this
man.
Brother's got, this brother's in some real, he's in a, as Millie Jackson would say, he's got a shit on his fingers. Because I understand in Texas, that's the last place you want to get any kind of sexual assault charge.
As a black man.
Especially being a black man.
Yeah.
As a black man,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they killed brothers and sisters in Texas for next to nothing. So I can imagine what this brother's going through. And I would have...
What do y'all...
I understand that he's got personal, he's got bodyguards now because there's been death threats.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to need them. They're coming after him, man. They're coming after him hard. back to the whole Asian thing, the whole thing was, it's a distraction. It is a distraction, but it's a dangerous one. And after that whole shooting in Atlanta, now they're trying to switch it and put it back to black men. Because before then, it was, this is how black people can support Asians. This is how this and that, black guys are. And when I saw this, I was like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Asians now are in trouble. We're getting shot. Like, there was a brother that just got busted for weed in Texas. He went to jail. He died in a jail cell. And now they put the police on right? There's a brother in California, in Compton, that was sitting out waiting to pick up his mother from a store. Cop comes up to him and says, "Hey man, you got to move your car." He said, "Okay, I'll move it." And the cop said, "Well, better yet, let me get the key. Turn the car off. Let me get the key." And he's like, "Why? What's going on?" The other cop comes in the front of the car, and he senses something is wrong. So he turns the car, and he makes a run for it. They start busting at the car in traffic. They just turn and start shooting their guns at him in traffic while he's standing there. And they actually, the bullets penetrated other cars, but it didn't hit him. It didn't hit him. He drove to a plaza. You know, he did some stunt driving, drove to a plaza, went in the store, changed his clothes, walked out of the store and walked past cops driving by who didn't even recognize him and got away.
Dumbass cops.
And I hope they don't ever.
Dumbass California cops.
but you see that we got to act like Jason Bourne just to survive, but we have to come out and start casing for Asians? I don't get it.
We're at war, and the sooner you realize
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said I don't got nothing against Asians, but this whole thing is just a smokescreen, but it's a dangerous one because now they're talking about legislation. I mean, if a black guy even says boo to an Asian, if they keep this up, he going to jail. Right?
And that's just hot bullshit because they won't even pass a fucking anti-lynching law, the Emmett Till anti-lynching law. So get the fuck out of my face with that shit.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going on. So while it seems harmless, us black men need to be looking like, uh-oh, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
The Dems got in there, and now they just like, fuck it. We're going to get all these Mexicans and Central Americans, and we don't really need the blacks to vote anymore.
Hmm.
Right? Like, we don't really need them anymore, really, right? They're just too much trouble, right? The black guys are too much, they talk too much trash, blah, 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 right?
They complain too much.
This is a dangerous time for us. We got to really be smart now. That's why the networks are so important. We really got to be smart because this is a dangerous time. We thought Stop and Frisk was bad before in New York. Now watch this.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's nationwide. And it doesn't have to be on paper for it to go down the way it is. As we've seen, it's too many examples recently. Just brothers, you know, fucking jaywalking. So, yeah, it's bad.
Yep. Most definitely. Yeah, we got about 5 minutes left. I really appreciate you brothers calling in. And Brother Patrick is always, always open mic, brother, for you to call in on any other shows. I'm fixing to write your number down now, matter of fact, and I'll send you a text message, brother, so we can actually link up. And I like what you have to say. And that's really, like I say, what it's all about. And that's why I really want to try to gear my shows more towards the people. You know, I mean, I can talk, yeah, but I want to hear what other people have to say, what other people are thinking, what other people are feeling, because I know that we're all frustrated. I know that we're all a little upset and we're a little bewildered. We don't know what
what's next? Like you said, Brother Patrick, we really don't know what's next. All we can do is sit back and wait for what's next and hopefully be prepared. And that's really what the purpose of this and all our shows is about, just, you know, linking up and plans of action, not just reactions, because like I said, we come together for these situations, but as soon as the situation dies down, we sit back down. And when the situation dies down, it's not the time for us to sit down. It's the time for us to keep standing up. Because like I say, had we kept standing, we might have prevented numerous, you know, murders that have happened. But we continue to play along with the system. And like I say, we continue to sit down when we should keep standing. And we've got to realize, I'm going to say it again, how much we need each other. When we realize how much we need each other, that's step one, because we don't need nobody else but us. And we can fix everything that's plaguing us right now. We can fix that overnight. If we were to take just 1 year and redirect our energy and our dollars, we see a big change. And then people going to want to get on that bandwagon, you know, and it's room, but it's work to be done when you get on that bandwagon, you know. So that's just the mind. We gotta get on a 2021 level, and we've got to get on a 2021 mindset, because if we continue to think 1988, we're going to continue to be lost in the game, and we cannot afford to keep being lost in the game. And that's just exactly what it is. It's a game, and we've got to learn how to play it, and we've got to learn how to play it to win. And with that being said, I'm going to close out. Brother Mark, do you have anything you want to say in closing?
Yeah, brother, thanks again. And peace to all the brothers and everyone listening online. Tune in tomorrow night to the Empowerment Zone. We'll be hoping that everybody will join us tomorrow night, and we'll be discussing current events as well as a couple of special topics that I had in mind. So tune in to the Empowerment Zone tomorrow night at 7, and hopefully we can open up some dialogue and solution-based ideas.
All right. Brother Patrick, would you like to say anything in closing, brother?
I just wanted to say it was a great discussion, as always. And, you know, I look forward to participating in more discussions. We'll work this thing out. We don't have a choice. So with that, good night, everyone.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. Like my brother just said, we don't have a choice. We got to work this out. We need each other. And like I always say in closing, it's time to plan, organize, and unify. Thank you all for calling in. Thank you all who listened online. I love you all. Peace, power, and love. And till next week, I'm out.